SBS हिंदी।
We've been talking about colonial connections between India and Australia for some time. We spoke about hawkers, cameliers, entrepreneurs, servants, but we've got a charming story of a lady who married a Maharaja from India, and none better than Chris Kunz to tell us the story of his great aunt who married an Indian Maharaja. And he's also the author of the book Maharani, First Australian Princess. So here we go. Welcome to the Hindi program, Chris.
Thank you, Kumar. Lovely to speak to you.
Thank you so much. And you've got a fascinating story about a great aunt, Elsie.
Elsie Caroline Thompson.
Okay, so tell us about her. So she was your aunt from your mother's side, was she?
That's right. My mother was called Elsie Thompson. She was named after my great aunt. My great aunt was born in 1883 in Sydney, and she grew up in a pretty conservative sort of family, but they were well educated. Her father was a bookseller and stationer in Erskine Street in Sydney. Mm-hmm. And he brought her up to read prolifically, and she loved that, and she loved poetry.
Oh, right.
And even as a young girl, she would read and quote from the Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam. And which is, you could say, is pretty classical sort of education for that time.
Yes, yes.
But she was known to repeatedly quote from it all through her years. And it was a fascination for her long before she went to the East or to India.
So she did visit India.
She definitely visited India. And that is where she fell in love with the Maharaja, and it was certainly mutual because he sought her out.
Right. And he was the Maharaja of Tikari, and his name was Kumar Gopal Saran Narayan Singh.
Yes, that's right.
And where is Tikari?
Tikari's in Bihar State.
Okay. So she went to India. That's fascinating. And she met a Maharaja on a white steed, and they fell in love. And did they get married in India itself?
They most certainly did. They eventually got married. They weren't married for some years while they were together. She became his second wife, which worried her considerably, but that he already had a first wife.
Uh-huh.
Because she felt very sorry for the first wife and didn't want to feel as though she was taking her place. And as things turned out many years later, she wanted to try and help out the first wife. But that's another long part of the story.
So did they ultimately get along, the first wife and your
grandmother? Oh, yes. There was no problem in their relationship. But Maharajas are almost unique in that, you know, they can have many wives. And there's an expectation on the wives that they don't have many boyfriends at the same time. And it's a bit of a one-way street.
Okay. So, of course, your great aunt had a fascination for India, for poetry, Omar Khayyam and poets like that. And I take it she was a very beautiful woman. So the Maharaja took to her because of her beauty and her education, did he?
I would probably say, and I would add to that, her humour. She was on the stage from the age of 17. She was a singer, actress, dancer and comedienne, which is unusual for that time. We're talking early 1900s. She first went on the stage in 1900, and she met the Maharaja first in 1904 when she travelled to India with Eugene Sandow's company. He was the great weightlifter and regarded as the strongest man in the world, and he was a total sensation wherever he went.
Sure.
And they filled theatres, and Elsie, in fact, opened his show on the very first night of their performance in Calcutta.
Okay.
And it was Theatre Royal on a Saturday night, 29th of October, 1904. And she opened the Sandow Company's show in Calcutta. And the Maharaja was there, along with other princes. And at least two of them fell in love with
her. Oh, how lovely. She was a very talented lady, obviously. So after they got married, did she continue to live in India, obviously?
Oh, she lived for quite some time in India, but he travelled fairly regularly to Europe. And he was a motor car fanatic, and he drove motor vehicles around wherever he could in races in Britain and even on the continent. So she also visited Europe, and she, after a time, particularly during the First World War, she stayed in London, and they bought a home. Well, it wasn't really a home. It was a flat, what one might call a flat, but it wasn't a standard sort of flat. It was a very nice, luxurious flat overlooking Regent's Park in London.
Oh, that sounds good. So what were the reactions from either side of the community, the Australian community, as well as the general Indian community in those days?
Well, you can imagine, Kumud, if today the average Australian, inverted commas, would see an Indian gentleman walking down the street with a pallid white Australian woman hand in hand, most people would probably do a double take. It's fairly unusual. But you go back 110 years to the year when they married, which is 1909, and it was extremely unusual, almost shocking to many people. Remember, we had the White Australia policy.
Absolutely.
And things like that. And it simply was, you know, there was something almost evil or devilish or fascinating for the newspapers about it. And she really, she was a bit of a sensation at the time. Her family themselves found it difficult to cope with initially, but once they formally got married, I think they accepted the fact that they were a loving couple. And it was only subsequently when their marriage hit the rocks and there were issues, legal issues and all sorts of things, that the family started slowly to distance themselves from Elsie, which was a bit of a tragedy for her.
So they fell apart, did they?
Yes, yes. Her brother, particularly with her, and he even named his house, which he had in Roseville in Sydney, Tikari, while they were married. But subsequently, when there were issues in the relationship, which drifted on over many years, and she left the Maharaja and lived with someone else, which was really not the dumb thing in those days. You know, he found it difficult to cope with the situation.
That's a pity. It was a fairy tale that didn't quite end like a fairy tale. So did they have any children, Chris?
No, they didn't. No, they didn't. And we know, it's something that I've detailed in the book, we know that she had abdominal problems and severe pain and things, which led them to believe that she probably could never have children. And it was one thing that she made sure the Maharaja knew even before they married, because she was actually engaged to another prince, a prince of princely state that is more famous than Tikari, and that is Cooch Behar.
Oh, yes, Cooch Behar, of course.
So she was, in fact, engaged to Raj Rajendra, who was the prince of Cooch Behar, before she married Tikari.
Oh.
And he was good looking. He was, I have to be honest and say, he was more good, better good. He was better looking than the Maharaja of Tikari, but he had problems. He drank just a bit too much and things like that.
Oh, that's really
this
fascinating.
This is all detailed in my novel.
Right.
Novel based on her true story.
Sure. Thank you so much for that very charming story. I wish it had ended like a fairy tale, but that's what happens in books, not in real life.
That's right, yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you for your time today, Chris.
Okay, it's been great. Thanks, Kumud.
लाइक करें, शेयर करें या कमेंट करें। SBS हिंदी को फेसबुक पर फॉलो करें।